Gateway Buick GMC has the hottest sale of the summer going on now. Take over $13,000 off the GMC Sierra. In the market for a Buick Enclave, Gateway has you covered with premiums over $11,000 off MSRP price. The all-new 2017 Acadia now on the showroom floor, alongside the luxurious Buick Envision. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or in person off I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. Gateway, the right way.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
The Red Series. West Virginia.
And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's making her cry.
Other games.
Nice.
We need some help.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. 590 The Fan, Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, Charlie Marlowe with you. The Plowhawk is on the ones and twos. The Seamaster is overseeing everything. And Iggy is making deviled eggs. It is a program, Doug, that airs from 7 to 10, but then is followed by Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. And Doug and I used the restroom together. Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Has anything ever happened?
I don't know. I mean, that's awkward for me to answer.
Yeah, keep pretending.
It isn't awkward.
And Frank's already back there working on a show.
I know. Quietly sitting in the corner, hammering out hot takes.
How about this? Speaking of hot takes, I just happened to look at my phone. One of my very favorite Facebook friends, John Vaughn, your son.
Big Denver Broncos guy.
Big Denver Broncos fan. Mm-hmm. And he posts at 8:23, Ole Miss.
From the future.
Ole Miss looks like a playoff team. Right when Ole Miss was really rolling that first half.
That was last night. When
that was last night at 8:23.
Yeah, maybe a premature.
And then the second John Vaughn sent that little Facebook post, Doug, everything changed.
Yes, it did. They don't look like a playoff club anymore.
What were they up, like 28-6 or something?
28-6-ish. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
I went to bed early last night. I woke up and I saw that Laze Knoll had come back.
You get tired early now that you have the Zika?
The Zika.
Are you lethargic?
Like I said, there were some late nights. And I'm surprised I was able to go to bed at 10, actually.
You find yourself confused at times?
Is that what the Zika does?
I'm just thinking maybe it will.
I mean, I just got a mosquito bite on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Just because I got a mosquito bite in Miami does not mean I have the Zika.
I don't know about that.
Is your will in order? Your state?
It is. It is. Plowhawk will be taking over this here radio station.
Does the mosquito bite itch?
Mm-mm.
Doesn't? That's probably a bad sign.
Crabs do, though.
Mm. You picked that up in Miami as well?
No, I've had that for years. I went to an Oakville prom.
Do you hear any old-timers down there call it Miami?
I don't.
They do. Some of the older people call it Miami.
Hmm. I've never heard that.
A lot of no habla inglés.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more of that than inglés.
They're all legal, though.
No, a lot of them are legal because Jimmy Carter allowed it to happen.
Excuse me.
You ever seen the beginning of Scarface?
They're all documented. Mario Boatlift, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. 1980.
Tony Montana came in. Did a little work, didn't he?
Yeah, about 120,000, 130,000 of them came in.
But it was their best and brightest.
No, it was who Castro decided he didn't want to pay to feed in prisons anymore.
That's your opinion.
That's the facts. And at first they said, well, we can't put this all on Florida. We'll put them in camps around the country. And they put little indoctrination camps, and they had to be there for 6 months. And then the U.S. government thought, well, they'll just stay in Montana. They'll spread all around. And as soon as the 6 months were done, they all went back to Miami. Why wouldn't they?
It's the weather.
It's where their family was, where they could speak Spanish, where the language or the culture was similar to where they were
from. It's Magic City, that's why.
Right. Can't blame them for going back there. Why wouldn't they? But that was an awful toll to put on one city.
Do you think they'd go back, though, if they knew Zika was there?
Probably. It's really the only Cuban city in America.
There's Cuba, Missouri. I actually drove through it on my float trip.
But you probably didn't see any
Cubans. How do you feel now?
Probably didn't see any Cubans. I mean, the people that live there would technically be Cubans, but not Cubans in the sense of I'm from the country of Cuba.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, it's time for DraftKings season. I'm looking forward to it. This weekend, get underway. DraftKings is your place to play weekly at DraftKings.com. Give it a run. You'll be happy that you did. I am looking forward to it. Football season is finally here, and it's time to put your fantasy knowledge to the test to win your share of $100,000 in DraftKings' free week one contest. That's right. DraftKings is hosting a free contest this weekend with $100,000 in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. Renew old rivalries with friends to prove you're the superior GM. Or try 50-50 contests where the top half of all entries win cash. DraftKings even has contests exclusively for beginners. There's something for everyone at DraftKings. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use code QUARTERBACK and play free in this weekend's $100,000 fantasy contest. This contest is 100% free, so there's no reason not to play. Again, that's code QUARTERBACK to play free for your share of $100,000 this weekend only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Week one fantasy. And then we have the year-long fantasy going on with our draft tonight at Bomber O'Brien's. Doug will be there. Charlie will be there. I will be there. The crew from We Are Live will be there. Frank Cusimano will be there. Howard Balzer will be there. So many of the great Americans here at the all-new 590 The Fan will be at Bomber O'Brien's. Come on down. Have yourself a scotch and kind of lay the foundation for this evening.
Yeah, but may I ask?
Yeah. What?
Are we doing the draft like as part of the radio show? Are we broadcasting the draft?
No.
Okay. Go ahead, Doug.
You got an address on that place down there, Tim?
No, but Google does.
What street is it on?
Charlie.
Doug's like, well, I have my Atlas in the car. It's Rand McNally.
I lost my Atlas.
Let me check out the greater St. Louis metro area.
So the answer is no, you don't know where it is either.
No, but I just type it into the old smartphone there, buddy.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought maybe someone had an address right there.
How about
stupid
this?
Question, I know. Hey, but you got an atlas.
Lord. Well done. I'll Google it right
Charlie
now.
Charlie gave
for
you a ring. Charlie's been very liberal with the rings this morning.
I'm not a liberal. I'm a moderate.
Oh, you're as liberal as a day is long. Moderate. Give me a break.
Everything in moderation, Doug. Yep. Even moderation.
You need to learn that.
Oh, yeah, because you're right down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Straight as an arrow.
Mm. No, I lean right.
Lean, you're falling over.
No, I wouldn't say I'm falling over, right? Because I don't believe some of the things that
you fell
right
face down in a pool of Zika.
Mm. Now, what does that have to do with being a Republican?
I don't know. I'm looking up Bomber O'Brien's for you.
What a gentleman.
Well, I can look it up myself. I just thought maybe you had an address right there.
Bomber O'Brien's.
Yeah.
Sports Bar and Grill in St. Louis, Mo.
Southside, dirty, Southside, dirt,
how
dirty.
How about this?
Doug, we've done a show there.
I know. I don't remember how to get there.
It is 4621 Beck Avenue, 63116. It looks like it's kind of near...
Cross street, please.
I'm seeing Chippewa-ish. Is it Oleatha?
Oleatha.
In between...
Oletha?
In between
Oletha.
Chippewa
Doug?
And Oletha. Oleatha?
Oletha. Right. I think it's Oletha. I should know. That's kind of South City.
Yeah, that's right.
That's near legit Bailiwook. South City.
Yeah. Also near Tholozan.
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 But it's Beck Avenue.
Okay. Yeah, I'll know it when I see it because we've been there.
That's right. That's right.
But just I don't know that I could have driven right to it.
It has very good ratings.
Does it? Well, mm-hmm. Of course it does.
Bar games, great cocktails, great beer selection.
Yeah.
No Zika.
Yeah, I think it's a Zika-free lounge. Would you call it a lounge? What makes
we're gonna
a bar
get,
a lounge?
We're going to get a serious I will get it. You won't. Serious emails today from people complaining about the Zika situation.
That we talked
count
about
on
it?
Count on it, yes.
Hmm.
Kings Highway and Beck, you idiots. Thanks, Ray King.
Yeah, I thought I remembered it off Kings Highway. It's down there by where the old famous bar used to be, right? And then they've knocked it down, of course, years ago. They're trying to knock down that Crestwood Mall. apparently it's going to take them 15 years to knock it down based on the progress they're making right now. I mean, they started months ago, and they've got like two little piles of rubble. Can we start knocking the place down, please?
What are they going to build?
They're going to build like an outdoor mixed-use retail and apartments and some condos and some retail stores and restaurants. And I haven't seen
that
the plans.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it should be a lot.
You haven't
better.
Seen the schematics?
I've not seen any schematics whatsoever. I'm just kind of perplexed as to why it takes so long to knock something down. I guess they're pulling out all the metal maybe that they can sell.
Will there be a Chico's?
I don't know.
About Claire's?
I don't know.
Sort of you girls can run get down them the towel rings.
I just
get
don't.
Them towel rings.
Okay.
Tim, how far can Azeka hit a pitching wedge? Thanks. That's from PGA Pro Dan.
About 140, 145.
I'm a buck 35. Yeah. And that really upset a few people in the audience.
Mm-hmm. When I golf, I don't need to know the exact yardage because I don't hit the ball consistently enough to know that, well, if I take out the 7-iron, it's going exactly 150 yards. I mean, it's going to go however I hit it.
He's got all the clubs in the sack. He's got the mashie, the mid-mashie. He's got the spoon, driver, flat stick.
That does describe my bag. It does. But it doesn't mean that if I know I'm exactly 150 yards from the hole, that's how far I'm going to hit it. It doesn't mean that at all.
That actually really bothers me. I golf about once a year. I'm horrible. And if you play with me for a couple holes, you'll realize I can't hit the ball straight. I have no idea where it's going. And yet you're with the guy where, you know, I top my drive 37 yards.
Yeah.
And then he comes up there with the binoculars to tell me that we're 350 away. And I say,
like, that's different than being 340.
Have you watched my last nine shots where I literally have swung and missed once?
Mm-hmm.
I've hit six in the shrubs. And you're going to tell me that I'm 127 away?
Yeah.
As if I need to know that? With your binoculars?
Yeah, just being nice.
Doug, I fired off a 76 at Anbryer on Saturday. The course is in great shape. Thanks. It's from Ty Webb's college roommate.
You know, I don't think he shot that well. That's a tough course. Anbryer is
I've never played Anbryer.
That is a hard, hard course.
I hear it's very nice, though.
It is very nice.
I've never played there.
You want to talk about golf?
Doug, let's get it on with a lesson. Thanks. That's PGA Pro Dan.
I need
to meet up with PGA Pro Dan. I don't know what your availability is today, Dan, but I need to some playing.
What's going
this
on?
Week. I'm just playing this week, and I have to dial in my irons because I'm not sure how far I hit this new set of irons I got.
I'm sure it's a long way, Tim.
Of course it is.
Yeah. I'm surprised you even need them. I would think you're just kind of long off the tee and then just baby it on up to the frog's hair.
It's the deadlifting. That's what I hear tell.
Yeah.
I said, I'm surprised that I hit the ball, and then one of the trainers at my gym goes, well, that's, he goes, I mean, look at, because I said the guys who hit the ball far on PGA Tour, though, they're kind of small dudes these days.
Club speed.
I guess so.
Club speed is
what
it is.
And they said, well, Rory McIlroy deadlifts like 400 pounds. Like, holy moly. Because I don't even think he's 6 feet tall. He probably weighs about what I weigh.
Yeah.
He's pretty jacked.
Leverage.
He's pretty jacked, though, seriously.
Yeah. Leverage and club speed.
Trunk rotation.
He got critiqued for working out too much, actually.
By who?
Some pros thought that it was
by some
causing...
pros who didn't work out.
Tiger Woods was pretty jacked when he was winning every tournament.
What's up, Eldrick?
Yeah.
What's up, Tim?
Well, nowadays, if you get too jacked up, it's, oh, boy, he's on the juice.
I mean, Tiger Woods, though, legitimately looked like an NFL safety.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
He had huge biceps.
Mm-hmm.
Huge chest.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, call Lying Dan. Ask for the Bazooka Joe Club. That's from Big Al. Nobody is more upset about PGA Pro Dan saying I hit the ball far than Big Al.
No, I know. Yeah. He's jealous. He'd like to know that he can hit the ball a little farther than you. I just don't really need to know the yardage. Because for me, it's how I hit the ball.
And don't they have the little markers? The little blue and white and red
markers? They got 100. They got 100.
You look at one, 200. You say, I'm in between 200 and 150. I'm probably two-thirds of the way. Let's call it, I don't know, Doug, what? 183?
Well, whatever. Is there a club anywhere in this bag that I can hit?
And again, no matter what, I will not hit the ball well.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it bother you, though, to have been an athlete in the younger days and then to hack around a golf course and embarrass yourself?
It does bother me, and I do embarrass myself, and that's why I don't play.
Well, if you just take
because
a couple
I don't enjoy
lessons,
playing,
you would if you're golf is no fun at all if you can't play. I mean, it's horrible. It's a terrible thing to do
okay,
if
but
you can't play.
My point is this: if I really wanted to invest in getting some good clubs, taking a lesson, and playing once a week or so. And that's a lot of time. Yeah. I don't know if I really want to do that.
No.
But you don't have to play necessarily once a week. If you just had a couple of lessons, you could play, you know, once or twice a month and still be okay.
You'd shave strokes. Mm-hmm. And then if you wore pants, you shave 3 strokes off your game automatically.
Hmm. Just by wearing pants.
Shaves 3 strokes off your game. I'd like to see how far somebody can hit Big Al's head with a pitching wedge. Thanks. It's from the 314.
I would think it's maybe 5 yards. That'd be, a human head's not going to go very far with a pitching wedge.
A big old head, big old bucket head.
Yeah, it's not going to go very far.
Doug made the switch to blades this week and forged, baby. Forged, shot 83.
Don't say forged, baby. I don't want blades. I want the cavity back.
Tell the listeners about Bertarelli Cutlery. I know they sponsored the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, but do you know anything else about them?
Hey, well, speaking of blades.
I think they would sharpen your golf clubs if you wanted them to.
Yeah, Charlie was setting you up right
there.
Oh,
okay. Speaking of blades, yes, Charlie.
Speaking of blades.
Yeah.
Knife blades.
Knife blades.
See, aren't you glad that you let it get set up like that?
Well, if you have any knife blades, and by gosh, who doesn't, the place where you would take them is not the golf course at all, but right down there at Bertarelli Cutlery at Marconi on the Hill. A lot of knife blades, you know what happens to them with use? They get dull, and you're going to
like
think,
you on the radio?
You're going to say, hey, I need new knives. My knives are dull. You don't have to keep ringing the bell.
What's that haunting?
It just wasn't that
good.
Wait,
what'd you say?
It wasn't that good.
You're not that good.
No. But what I do know, one thing I know is sharpening, chop, chop, cheeky. And Bertarelli Cutlery is where you're going to go to get your knives sharpened. Not just knives, any kind of food prep equipment you've got, Bertarelli Cutlery can make it work better. You think your knives are working well now. You think all your food prep equipment, hey, I'm fine over here. No, you're not fine. Go to Bertarelli. And if you need to buy something, they've got a fabulous retail area there in the front. Or if you need it to work a little bit better, they can sharpen it up. They sharpen it up for all the best restaurants and kitchens and hotels in town. That's what they do. They have quality products at quality prices. You know what else they have? Free local delivery.
Wait.
So if your budget is being drained by local delivery fees, Bertarelli Cutlery is where you need to go because they'll deliver things for you for free. And there's no minimum order, and that's a key point here.
Right.
You don't have to go and say, you know what, I'm going to spend a whole lot. You don't. There's no minimum order at Bertarelli Cutlery for all of their quality products. They sharpen and service knives, slicer blades, mixers, and so much more. They service all major brands of food prep equipment and no business too big or too small for their family service. So go visit them today, Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill. Mention this program and receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. That's Bertarelli Cutlery, Chop Chop Cheeky.
Chop Chop Cheeky, Bertarelli Cutlery, the sponsor here of the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Rick Kummel going to be with us, presented by Hot Shots. We'll be broadcasting live from Hot Shots in St. Charles on Thursday, September 22nd. Come on out. The water is warm. And then Gabe Yarman, brought to you by Bud Light, publisher of PowerMizzou.com. He will be with us at 9 o'clock. It's your Tease Farms Captain's Log. Gabe is speaking at the St. Louis, Missouri Tiger Club lunch today at Llewellyn's Pub in Webster Groves. By the way, we are broadcasting live from the all-new 590 The Fan Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway the right way at I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. Online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. In the market for a new car, in the market for a used car, need to get your car serviced. They have 38 service bays to take care of you. And Gateway Buick GMC is having a massive sale at their dealership. It's going on right now. Score a brand new 2016 Buick Encore for 20% off MSRP. Encore leases as low as $135 a month. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
$135 a month.
Oh, yeah.
With Gateway making your first payment. It's Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. I-270 McDonald Boulevard, or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Rick Hummel talking Cardinals Pirates, the wild card race starting to emerge to the Cardinals Mets Giants. And there really is a short amount of time left in this season. So what could wind up happening here, I thought the Cubs would just kind of shutter down and glide in. They have a 17-game lead? Is that what it is now? And they're going to clinch this thing here within the week. That they would take it easy, which was, if my premise was right, going to be good for the Cardinals since they had 6 games against them. But I don't know if they're really going to do it. And by that, I mean take it easy. And then a week and a half away, that Cardinals-Giants series in San Francisco, that's basically playoff baseball. It's a 4-game series. And the way the Mets are playing right now, I don't know. I think the Mets might be the team that would be the one that you would put the most stock in being in. So the Cardinals having 4 with the Giants in San Francisco and 6 with the Cubs So that means of the, God, how many games do they have left, Doug? 27?
They've got just a few.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not that many now, Tim.
Nice take.
They've played 136.
26 games.
26 left. Yeah.
I wonder what their run differential is.
Well, this is something that I keep track of. I don't expect
you guys to. Oh, so you do have it.
To.
No, you have it.
I don't expect you guys to even know what the concept is. But their run differential right now is a plus 79. Plus 79.
Rick Hummel will give us his perspective on the wild card race at 8:30. Gabe DeArmond on Missouri coming up at 9 o'clock. Hey, look, that Ryan Kelly's on the line. Hello, Ryan.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
What do you say? Oh, what do you say?
Worried about the mosquito bite Timmy got down in Florida. I'll tell you, I've been nervous.
Have you? I don't know. Charlie's not as concerned, but I understand you being
concerned. He's not concerned about anybody except Hillary Clinton. We all know that. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Now, wait a second.
That's right.
That was for Doug. No.
Thank you, Ryan.
Up on Doug. My whole ride this morning to work, I heard Doug. I had to give him one, right?
Thank you.
That's true.
I appreciate that. He had it coming, too.
I'm not concerned because...
over to the right or this.
Yeah.
Like, man, these guys are brutal in this hat. Yeah. There.
Proud to be on the right, too, Ryan. Very proud. I don't have my head in the sand like so many of these leftist lunatics.
Well, I'm not going that far, but...
Well, I am.
I'll just try to back you up a little bit, dude.
All right.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's a short week. It's 4 days. They're fun, you know, barbecued all weekend, hung out with the kids, did all that, enjoyed the time. But, man, when you walk in here on a Tuesday morning, you got 5 days of work to get done in four. You got to get going. So I'm going to leave it with that, man. I'll tell you what, everybody knows this. The Morning After is not only one of my favorite radio shows in the world, it's something that I love being part of. Thank you guys for everything you've done, for the Home Loan Expert business, for our team here. We do a lot of loans for a lot of your listeners, and couldn't appreciate it more. I'm Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. Refinance and buy a home. Why would you go anywhere else? 314-781-9700 or thehomeloanexpert.com.
There he is, Ryan.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation. Hey, Doug, Auburn, War Damn Eagle, almost beat Clemson this past weekend. Paul Finebaum was not off yesterday, Plowhawk, but he was taking calls, and caller Tammy, I don't know if you're familiar with her work.
No.
She's a big War Eagle fan, and was not happy with the result, even though they were playing the number two team in the country. This is caller Tammy's thoughts on the Finebaum show.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I'm so frustrated the way the offense plays. Because of Gus Malzahn. And he had the nerve to come in the news conference and say he had it playing like that. Ooh. He had that playing. That was his playing, was to play five quarterbacks.
He's ignorant.
You hear me? Ignorant. You are not a coach in the SEC and go say that that was your playing to play five kids on the football field and done already named your starter. You can't name a starter and not let him down play. How are you going to name a starter and not even let him play? And then when he does play, he drives you all the way down the damn field in 30 seconds. 30 seconds. He made two throws, and the next throw was in the end zone, and all we had to do was catch it. And you're going to tell me that that wasn't your starter? You're stupid, Malzahn.
Doug, that was caller Tammy into the Paul Finebaum show.
She seemed rather passionate about her club.
Now, unfortunately, it was a rough week across the South. Probably going to be the same case in November as well. But we also had a loss last night, as we made reference to earlier in Ole Miss.
That was a late reaction.
Orlando. And then also Southern Alabama, or is it South Alabama, with Mississippi State. Hail State goes down, and that upset diehard Mississippi State fan Stingray as he gives his inner Rando freedom.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
You're never going to keep old Stingray and the Mississippi State Bulldogs down. Now, yes, we lost last weekend, absolutely, but we knew it was going to be a season full of growing pains because the media picked us at SEC Media Days 7th in the West, and we lost a lot last year to the NFL draft, but we have a lot of great talent, and we almost beat South Alabama. Now, this week, as you can see, I have two fighting cocks right here beside me, because we welcome in the South Carolina Gamecocks. Do they really think, with their loser coach, that they are going to walk in to Davis Way Stadium and get beat? I don't think so. Because you're not walking into Anchor Down up at Vanderbilt. You're walking into Dog Pound at Mississippi State.
Stingray. Yeah.
For years, that's been a place where nobody wanted to go. I mean, you just put an L on your record if you see Mississippi State on your schedule.
Hail State.
Hail
State. That sounded a lot like Rondo.
Yeah, there's something about that.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like it was a joke.
No, have you ever seen the Stingray?
I haven't.
Look up the Stingray and you'll understand it's not a joke. He really likes him some Mississippi State football. Mm. No, Dak Prescott
Stingray.
And then old South Alabama comes to town and LSU lost in Wisconsin at Green Bay, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. South Alabama, home of David Freese. That's where he went to college.
Ole Miss losing to Florida State. And the Gurs losing West Virginia.
That's the one that stung.
So, Doug.
Get in the dog pound!
Okay.
So, Doug, give us.
Get in the dog pound!
Yeah.
Illinois won big.
Yeah, Murray State's tough. I think they're top five.
Yeah, you don't mess with the racers.
Give us your updated rankings.
You don't
want
to play them in their place.
Yeah, give us your updated rankings of the SEC after week one. How have the teams shifted?
Yeah.
Well, I think we know how the teams have shifted. The teams are at the top who deserve to be at the top. The teams that, what I would say, took care of business. And the teams that might have stumbled a little bit, they're going to find themselves at the bottom, Chuck.
Let me ask you this. How far do you drop the Bayou Bengals after a tough... Now, it's called a neutral site game, but let's be honest.
What a neutral
Lambeau
site?
Lambeau Field, there's no neutrality about that.
No. That was their first non-conference loss in like 14 years. I dropped them a long way.
Now, a stat like that, in all seriousness, without looking, tells me they probably need to schedule some better non-conference opponents.
Yeah.
Even though LSU's been very good for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's not unusual for the powerhouses to line up for cupcakes.
How about Oklahoma this year? Playing Houston, basically at Houston, in the non-conference, and also Ohio State.
How about that?
That's quite a slate.
Yeah, I applaud them for that. I like that. I hope that the voters don't hold that too much against them, should it come down to, well, I don't know if they're a playoff team or not, when they play that kind of non-conference schedule. You ought to get credit for
that. I feel like they got to do whatever they can in the Big 12, where if you don't have a conference championship game, you can be penalized.
Yeah.
So part of it's strategic and not necessarily moral high ground, but I like seeing it as well. I mean, you had a great weekend of college football this weekend, because that first weekend usually doesn't have nearly what you would have on this three-day Labor Day weekend with Alabama and USC, Lane Kiffin doing a little fun with running up the score on his former team. Last night, Florida State, Ole Miss. And then Saturday was chock full of great games. Texas, Notre Dame was fascinating. You guys watch that one? That was a damn good game. It was my dad's birthday yesterday. He's a big Notre Dame fan, so I was really hoping they would get a win. That sucked. Mm. I mean, for me,
they should have gone for two in overtime.
Think so?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And tried and shipped it right then and there?
Yeah, I think he'd have a better chance of getting, 3 yards than prevailing in overtime.
Don't say prevailing.
I just did.
There's no reason to say prevailing.
There's a nice word there.
No. You only say prevailing when you've already said beaten and defeated so many times that you feel like you need to mix it up. You had not said any of that. So to say prevailing, it just didn't make any sense.
I kind of wanted to see them prevail.
Mm.
I don't know why I was rooting for Notre Dame, but I was.
Look at you. Look at you.
I just thought as soon as they scored that touchdown in overtime, I said, go for two now. I held up two fingers. Two. Go for two. Well, they didn't.
Were you surprised that Oregon beat UC Davis by 25?
UC Davis brings a heck of a club to the table, Chuck. I mean, anytime you go up against a UC Davis team, you know you've been in a football
game. What's their nickname?
The Shrubs.
Oh, I think we know what their football game is.
No, their nickname.
Oh, I think we know what their name is.
What is it, though?
Yeah, well, we all know. I don't want to, be Captain Obvious here and start spitting out nicknames. You know, it's Ohio State Buckeyes, duh.
Gabe DeArmond coming up at 9 o'clock, talking college football, Missouri specifically at 9 o'clock. But now it's time for Rick Hummel and his Hot Shots Cardinal Report.
This Cardinal Report is brought to you by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Bring your Cardinals ticket stub to any of the 12 area Hot Shots locations the day after a home victory and get 25% off any menu item.
The big man will score!
Plus, if you swipe your Hot Shots MVP card, you'll be entered in their first pitch sweepstakes for a chance to throw out the first pitch at an upcoming Cardinals game.
It's time for the Hot Shots Cardinal Report. We'll be broadcasting TMA live Thursday night at the St. Charles location. Come on out, oh, won't you? Taking a look at your National League wild card standings, Doug. The Pittsburgh Pirates in a free fall, losing 7 in a row. The Marlins have lost 4 in a row. And so with that, the Pirates are 4.5 back of the Cardinals. The Rockies are actually getting closer to the Marlins than the whatever, who cares? There's microphone noise and I'm distracted. Rick Hummel with us. Morning, Commish.
Hi, guys.
Hey. Cardinals, Giants, and Mets. Looks like that's what it's going to be all the way down to the finish.
Yeah, and people should note that the Cardinals have a 4-game series in San Francisco beginning a week from Thursday. That might tell a lot.
That's a huge one. But the Pirates have just fallen apart. Now, I realize, if anything, I was surprised that they were making a surge in mid to late August after kind of pulling the plug on the season at the trade deadline. Gerrit Cole's injury complicating things. They really are struggling in pitching, and you've seen them giving up double-digit run totals here the last couple of games, losing 7 in a row and now below 500.
Yeah, when you don't pitch, your whole team looks terrible, and they looked bad yesterday. They've lost this last 4 at home to Milwaukee, which hadn't beaten much of anybody lately. They beat the Cardinals on Wednesday, and then they won 3 more in Pittsburgh. And now with Penn State and Pitt going to be playing this Saturday in Pittsburgh, I think all attention shifts to that. I think the fans are going to be giving up on the Pirates here.
Have you given up on them, too? I mean, they looked like they're just
done.
Completely gassed.
I mean, there's 3 teams. They have to pass 2 of those teams to even qualify for a shot at the wild card, and they don't play some of them anymore. They don't play the Giants anymore. They don't play the Mets anymore. They do play the Cardinals some, but there's too much going on there. The 3 teams you just mentioned are the 3 that are going to the wire, and there's not much way of handicapping that. The Giants keep retreating.
It's surprising, too. I know Pittsburgh has dealt with injuries, but then you look at the Mets, and they're able to hang in there. DeGrom lately here has not been good at all. Obviously, Harvey done for the year. Mats is out. I mean, they've dealt with as many injuries to big-time players as anybody, and they're still hanging in there. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh has just fallen off the map.
Of all the guys on the Mets you figured might not last a whole season, the 43-year-old guy has.
Well, yeah.
13-7.
That should show you just don't work out, don't worry about fitness or eating right. Just go out there like Bartolo Colon and throw all fastballs and do whatever you want.
All fastballs and all strikes. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. How do you think the Cardinals are set up here for the stretch run? It kind of, they got Leak coming back. It feels like they're kind of starting to get healthy again.
It'll be interesting to see, Charlie, how they reconfigure the infield when Diaz returns, which I expect to be Friday. I think he'll play 2 games for Springfield, Wednesday and Thursday, in the playoffs. And how do you think the other team's going to feel about that with a big leaguer playing for the Cardinals' double-A team in the playoffs? Does Jerko go to third? Does he go to second? I think Wong's got to play now. I think I would play Wong at second, Diaz at short, and Jerko at third with Carpenter at first. Although Adams threw his hat in the ring yesterday, too. They got all kinds of decisions to make there, but I think Jerko will stay in the lineup, and I think Wong needs to stay in the lineup.
I know you've liked Wong all along. Why do you like him so much? A lot of people would look at the numbers and say, well, he sure hasn't hit like everybody else.
Well, those numbers don't show up that play made in center field yesterday. There's not a second baseman they have on their club that would have made that play except him. He turns double plays. They turned 4 double plays on Sunday. Not one of them was a fly ball, mind you, but the other 3 involve plays at second base. He's a stylish fielder. He's not making as many mistakes as he did before. He can actually go from first to third on a hit. He can steal a base. There's a lot he brings to the table. And I don't think they're good enough they can't play him.
So you think Peralta would be the odd man out?
I'm afraid so. I mean, there's a way to use all these guys. If you see matchups against certain pitchers, that might get Peralta and or Adams in a game. But I haven't seen much from Johnny lately to warn him playing ahead of Jerko or even Matt Carpenter at third base. You could do it that way, too. You could put Carpenter at third, Diaz at short, and you can't really alternate Jerko and Wong, I don't think. Jerko belongs on the field.
Commish, did you ever think when they made that trade in the offseason? I mean, you know, we talk about everything with the Cardinals locally, but nationally, nobody talked about John Jay being dealt for Jed Jerko. And here, in a pennant race, in a wild card race, that's looking like one of the most important moves that any team has made. It's pretty amazing that this guy, I mean, he's going to hit over 30 home runs probably.
You make a good point. I think people looked at what he did before and saw him averaging 16 home runs a year and thought, well, so-so. But he hit 20-something, 23 in San Diego 1 year. Well, San Diego is the hardest park in the league to hit home runs, and he didn't hit them all there, but he hit a number of them there. And I was impressed with the fact that he hit like a 350 lifetime against the Cardinals, and who in those years had a crackerjack starting rotation. So I thought there'd be I wonder how much he'd be able to play. I knew he could play, but how much, where would he play? They thought he could play shortstop when Peralta got hurt early in the season, and he's still there now, but he doesn't cover any ground. That's not really a good position for him, and that'll change as of Friday.
So where do you think he lines up next year as they look ahead a year? What would you do with him?
I think he winds up at the third base if you've kept Wong. Let's say you've made Carpenter your first bet. You know, you have to decide what position Carpenter plays first. It's not really fair to him. He hadn't played third in about, two or three months yesterday, and he played it. But it's not fair for him to expect your best player maybe to play a different position almost every day. You want him to hit, too. So I think he has to land at one position next year. Let's say it's first base. Well, then Jerko goes to third. Wong goes to second. Diaz to short, and Peralta, they would try to move.
And that contract to Peralta, it was kind of written that way, right, where the last year it was easier to move, not as much money, and probably would make sense. I know he's not having a great year and he's been hurt, but as he gets older, it would make more sense maybe for him to be in the American League and he could play some different positions in DH every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe so. And I wouldn't rule him out as a contributor this year because you want – veterans who have been in postseason competition and races before. I'm not going to call this a pennant race. The Cubs are winning the division flag. There is no pennant race for a wild card. It's a race. And Peralta could knock a home run every now and again. And you would think down the stretch he hadn't had one for a while, which is kind of concerning, though.
Wainwright got a win yesterday, but wasn't terribly sharp. You think it's been settled that if they get in a one-game playoff that Martinez would be the guy that they would try to have available?
If you don't have to pitch him to get to that one game, let's say the last day of the season, you may have to win. Well, I think they'd set up their rotation where Martinez would be pitching the last game of the regular season, and Wainwright would be next. Like, this is, you know, look where they are now. Martinez pitched Sunday and Wainwright Monday. So Martinez, I would think, is surely lined up to pitch the last game of the regular season. If they need him to. They don't need him to, he pitches the first playoff game. If they need him to get to the playoffs, then Wainwright pitches the playoff game.
Commish, you know this is going to be the fun and probably annoying media question for Mike Matheny and the players in the last few weeks here, that if they, you know, go to the wild card, is it more beneficial in this particular year that they be on the road? I know that sounds crazy, but it's hard to ignore just how different they are at home versus on the road. Do you think in a one game, though, in a playoff atmosphere, you still, even though you're looking at the numbers in 2016, you want that game at Busch?
Well, generally, they've won at least one game in every series at home this year, so that'd just be a one-game series. Maybe that's the one.
Yeah, better be.
I think you don't want to have to get on a plane and go 4 hours to San Francisco for one game, or necessarily go 2 hours to New York for one game. So, yeah, I think still, and they've got a chance to fix that up, at home record up, that they can knock the Brewers around a little bit, and even the Cubs when they come in. And then last week of the season at Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they should score a whole lot of wins there.
You think they'd hesitate at all to use Weaver and or Reyes as a starter in the playoffs?
Well, with Reyes going to the bullpen now for seemingly the rest of the season, I don't think they would hesitate. I don't think he's going to have enough innings built up where you can count on him going more than four or five. So I think Reyes is their ace in the hole in the bullpen. And the five starters, including Leake, are what you have. Weaver's one of the five, though. And would he pitch? I think we've established Martinez and Wainwright are the first two. And after that, I think Garcia and Leake are probably next. Then you have Weaver. Unless Weaver can show in the last four or five starts he's going to have here that he's better than those guys, I think he's still behind him in the pecking order so far.
I guess. As I see it, I think he's already proven that he's better than they are right now. And I think I'd rather see Reyes out there than Leake, too. But is that just the old baseball code? You got to do it long term. You got to be a veteran to get that shot.
Well, I think Reyes can help them more in the bullpen than Leake can. I mean, if Leake can give you six innings, as he usually does, you can, or even five, you can bring in Reyes from the from the fifth inning on and feel comfortable, he can pitch two or three innings. You don't have to just go one, you know, three outs and he's out of the game like most of these guys. He can go as long as you want him to. And he provides a whole different look to these hitters than the first guy, no matter who he is that they've seen.
It is kind of one of those weird years for the Cardinals if they were to get to a playoff series where, let's be honest, when they roll out the rotation, you really wouldn't have that much confidence past Carlos Martinez. Even Waino, I mean, for years he's been an ace-type pitcher, but certainly hasn't been this year. And even in the most recent postseasons, he hasn't been great.
I agree. I think they can win the wild card game. Can they beat the Cubs in a five-game series? Well, that'd be tough. We should note here before we go off that the Mets' schedule is unbelievably easy on paper the rest of the way. They play three games at Washington on their end of this trip here, and then the rest of them are against Philadelphia, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Minnesota, and Miami, all losing teams.
Yeah, they are positioned quite well. Once they get that offense healthy, they have surged despite the numerous injuries to the pitching staff. Rick Hummel brought to you by Hot Shots here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Commish, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Rick Hummel with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. The Appliance Discounters with six St. Louis area locations to serve you. Bosch Kitchens at the lowest price, plus 10% rebate back. Free dishwasher install, $150 value for free. Doug went to the Appliance Discounters. You should as well. Get your kitchen ready right now for cooking season and the holidays. Six area showrooms, Webster, St. Charles, Arnold, Baldwin, South City, and most currently, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Appliance Discounters, where our savings are your savings. The sponsor of the phone lines, you can call into the phone lines, 855-282-8255. That's 855-282-8255 here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Doug, last night they had the Rob Lowe roast on Comedy Central.
Well, sure.
Here are some of the highlights.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Rob wrote a memoir called Stories I Only Tell My Friends. Chapter 1, The Day I F***ed Your Wife. You're almost up. Despite all the insane jokes you've heard about Rob, he's actually had a great career, obviously. Rob has been some of the most successful movies of our lifetime. I'm sorry, on Lifetime.
Don't worry about Rob Lowe. He is a workhorse. And heck, man, if they ever stop casting you in sitcoms, just look on the bright side. You tried to take the air out of my retirement announcement so fast, you can probably get a job as Tom Brady's ball boy.
Peyton looks like if football players evolved to no longer need helmets. No, seriously, Peyton, I love all of your work, especially when I saw you in the Goonies yelling, "Hey, you guys!"
Jeff Ross is going to party like it's 1999. And Coulter is going to vote like it's 1899. And you do look great, though. You're almost as thin as Donald Trump's chance of winning the election. So that's cool.
Jewel is here, or as I call her, Trailer Swift. Jewel, I do not want to badmouth you since God already did. No. Smile is cute. I feel like your teeth are like the Spice Girls, you know, they're all different colors and they're like doing their own thing, so that's fun.
Who is that woman?
you're mad about her. Who was that plow pirate? The plow pirate, everybody.
I thought it was, I don't know her personally, Nikki Glaser, I think. With
oh,
the
Nikki
last
Glaser,
one.
She's St. Louisan.
Yeah,
she is.
Yeah,
I know, she looked really fine in the program.
I follow her on Twitter. She's very funny.
She's a St. Louis Kirkwood product, if I'm not mistaken. She's a Pioneer Proud, Doug.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't I know her? Has she been in some big things?
She's her career's taken off.
Has it?
Yeah, she's got a show on, what stations are showing? The guys from We Are Live are Tim Convy, St. Louisan, also known as St. Louisan.
It's on one of the networks.
Is one of the...
She seemed a little mean-spirited.
Well, it's a roast.
Yeah, I know. I understand. But you still don't cross some lines.
Which
you
lines
go
are you crossing?
Oh yeah, you
Jewel.
Don't...
Her teeth are a little banged up.
Yeah,
but she's pretty attractive.
Yeah,
that Jewel.
Okay.
How did Didn't Rob she marry look... a rodeo person?
Jewel,
Palsy, Darren.
The hell do I know?
I think she married a rodeo.
You think I
rider.
Know even one rodeo rider?
You should.
Well, who do you know? Who do you know?
The guy from the movie 8 Seconds?
Ty
played by
Murray.
Luke Perry. Luke Perry.
Ty Murray is her husband.
Is he a rodeo guy?
He is.
Tyne Daly.
She's not married to Tyne Daly. Old Ty Murray. Cowboy, I guess.
That boy can stay on a buck. Let me tell you.
Doug, they're not in ordinary rums around here. We're into Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum, the one made in honor of Norman Sailor Jerry Collins, a Navy vet who built his rep as the undisputed father of the old school tattoo by inking soldiers and sailors in World War II era Honolulu. Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum is 92 proof, mixes well with lemonade, cola, or simply as a chilled shot. It's bold as hell, it's smooth as hell, and it's the official spiced rum of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Please enjoy Sailor Jerry responsibly. We'll be ponied up and having booze this weekend at Lou Fest. I am looking forward to that. Supposed to be beautiful weather. We'll be down there. We have the inside STL area, and Doug will just be ponied up. Pony up with me. Let's have a Sailor Jerry and talk about our favorite memories from the show.
Well, I won't need a lot of time to talk about that necessarily. But where exactly are we going to be ponied up? You know,
the inside STL safe space.
Oh, okay, but you don't have a location or anything? Forest Park. That was a big park.
I think off number 8 on Hawthorne.
Ah, okay.
What are you going to wear, Doug?
I don't know.
You gonna wear a tie-dye shirt?
I don't have any junk. I wasn't the hippie that you were.
Teva sandals? Is it Teva or Teva?
I don't wear a lot of sandals either.
Teva? Teva?
I don't wear a lot of sandals, junk. I don't think I even own a pair of sandals.
You should.
I don't.
Don't you like your feet to be kind of nice and free?
Not really, no.
No socks? Especially in the summertime?
Socks the cat.
Well, even if I'm not going to wear socks, I'm not going to wear sandals.
Socks the cat.
I'm not wearing sandals. I'm sorry.
Why not?
Because I don't care for them. I need more protection.
My dad, he calls flip-flops tongs.
Yeah.
And we think that's funny. My dad also sometimes.
Not tongs. Thongs.
Thongs.
Thongs. That's what they were called years ago.
And he also sometimes will wear them with socks.
No, that's like worst. That's a poor look.
It's the worst look ever. Yeah.
Black socks?
No, white.
Pulled up to his knee? White.
Usually
socks.
White or alabaster.
Don't say alabaster. There's no reason to ever say that.
I think it worked, Charlie.
But if you're wearing socks, sometimes it's hard to get the toes between the little thong.
That's my
there
point. That's why you don't wear them.
Well, that and the fact that it looks goofy to wear them.
Yeah.
I was wearing Jordan Walden's underwear on the way home.
Yeah. Yeah, they were always called thongs back then.
I saw Derek Gould tweet out yesterday that Jordan Walden had a rehab assignment. He just didn't show up.
Why don't you give it up at this point? There's 3 weeks left in the season. You haven't pitched all year.
What is the deal with that guy? Him and the cat are fast friends.
They swap underwear, apparently.
He was back at Bush, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and he did some interviews. And it was weird because you walked in the clubhouse, you're like, you forgot he was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for 2 years, he's
well, it's
been
easy
hurt.
To forget because he hasn't pitched.
I know. He was actually really good for about, a month, his first season here.
Jumping
off the rubber.
Yeah. Unusual rubber. Delivery.
Derek tweeted out, so Jordan Walden was put on rehab assignment this past week. Did not show up for it. He's been shut down. We'll see, doctor. Same as it ever was.
Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with it? Is that a shoulder?
I think it's the cat and him switching underwear.
I think so. You get a virus doing that.
Doug, it's hard to wear socks with all the Zika in them. Thanks. One more park bathroom attendant.
Well, that's another reason not to wear flip-flops or thongs.
Guys, Doug wears socks during sex. Thanks, Wright City Lemming.
Is that true?
Good one, Wright City Lemming. Really,
is that true, though?
Really, really good one.
I had a run, and Doug, was it 1999?
I don't know the years.
I think it was, April of 1999, with the lasses I was with back-to-back, did not want to take their socks off. And I don't know what that was about, but I have to tell you, it was a turnoff because it conveyed insecurity. And insecurity, of course, not hot.
What if they have bunions, though?
I guess there must have been something going on, but I just remember that. And I thought, is this like a new thing? But it was, that's the only two I've ever been with that whole thing. And then the next girl I was with, she's like, yeah, socks aren't sexy. That was her premise. Socks aren't sexy.
Well, is it because, though, the girls and you were kind of sliding around like risky business beforehand?
That's possible.
I would assume they were both trannies.
Right.
And they had men's feet.
Big hairy toes.
Big old man foot. And that's what they didn't want to have you see.
The foot was the only way you could tell.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. You don't see a lot of girls with like a size 11, 12 foot. if they kept the socks on, you know, they could hide that from Tim.
Brittany Griner.
Yeah, there is her.
I wasn't with her, only because she'd be underage at that time.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'd have been in.
Doug, it's easier to achieve if you would keep your socks on. Thanks, that's from the 618. Is that true? Tim, ask Jay Jr. know. About it. Yeah, I wonder what Jennings' thoughts would be on that.
I think he would hate that.
I try to avoid wearing socks at all times.
Socks with cat.
Well, socks aren't good enough for you.
It's just, no, if you can wear flip-flops or if you can wear a nice boat shoe. Now, what I do see people wear, which I'm against, and my buddy Zach Choate at the old Two Fox, he has these. Tim, I don't know if you've seen these, but they're basically like a ballerina slipper sock for men.
Oh, yeah.
And you wear them with shoes where it looks like you're not wearing socks.
Yeah, I got two of those.
Do you?
They help.
I don't know. I don't like the way they look.
You're not supposed to see them.
I know, but they look like a ballerina girly slipper.
Yeah. Puffoot Fetish Friday.
Mm-hmm. But they sure feel better than your naked foot inside a shoe.
I wasn't going to tongue kiss her foot.
No.
Plow Hog is in the foot files.
Darren.
Darren's going to
Darren,
the game.
That's so you.
People think that sometimes I have a foot fetish.
Yeah, I don't know where they get that impression.
May I bring
it's
something
certainly
up?
Not true.
May I bring something up, please?
When have you ever hesitated to bring up anything?
I'm going to bring it up anyway. Now, here's the thing. If people were listening, I feel like the first like 10 to 15 minutes of the show were a tad awkward. And I think one of the reasons people like they like the show is we can all make fun of each other and we can all just like talk about everything that goes wrong. Sea Monster had like an episode right off the bat, and it's like we couldn't talk about it. I'm like, now Sea Monster was he was visibly mad. He like kicked a stool, and it's like everybody looked. We were so surprised. Nobody commented.
I didn't even see it happen.
Tim, you saw it. Well, Doug, you have your back to the this perched window,
mm-hmm.
But it's like he did it. It threw me so off my game.
I'll tell
and
you,
I feel like we couldn't talk about it.
That's wonderful. I enjoy this because it's introspective. Well, the issue was my headphones weren't working.
Okay.
That was the issue. So I couldn't hear certain things. And so then I had to step away from the microphone. Here's some inside baseball for everybody. So when people, Doug, because people like to go back and podcast the show and evaluate things.
Sure.
Yeah, that's an important moment for sure.
And so I had to wave the sea monster in. And I guess what upset the sea monster was that the headphones weren't working. And so he was upset. And I feel like the Plow Hawk, Iggy, Doug, Charlie, and me are all fair game to have crap talk. The cat kind of has, sometimes can dish, can't take.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of know the dynamic there. And then the sea monster's just kind of in his own little world because the sea monster's above us. That's how I view it.
But that's why it's great, though. Like, when he has his one episode, it never happens, so we need to talk about
it. But he was clearly, like, legitimately pissed, and so I wasn't going to bring... Like, if he was just kind of, like, did something, he was a little irritated. Like, if it was producer Joe, for example, who would get pissy almost once a show... And then I would call it out. That was different. But I've worked with the sea monster now, I don't know, 2.5 years, and I've never seen him do that. And so I'm like, ah. You know, and all it was his headphones not working.
I like it, though. It shows passion.
So that's why I didn't say anything about it. Chuck, you asked for reasoning. That was my reasoning. And there's what was going on.
You good now, Sea Monster? I feel like we can bring it up now. It was an hour and a half ago.
Well, I had a combination of things happening all at one time. We had the headphone issue. We had a mic issue that we were trying to work with.
A Doug issue.
I had somebody asking me about podcasting for another show. I just discovered that I was not aware that we had an afternoon remote today. And I didn't get a whole lot of sleep because I got these allergies that have been bothering me.
Really? September allergies? What are you allergic to, baby?
Yeah, I don't know. My lady friend said the pollen count.
Don't say my lady friend. You're not 85 years old.
She's my special lady friend.
You don't have a lady friend.
Do you think
you have a
maybe,
girlfriend.
You think maybe you're allergic to hot takes?
No, I think I would be dead by now after working on this show for a year.
Yeah, now you'd be scorched to death. I mean,
how did it make you feel to release his anger by kicking a stool?
I generally do a good job of containing my temper, but when I don't, when I fail to do so, it's not pretty, Doug.
But that's why it was great, though, because it never happens, and that's why,
which is why
I really
I
wanted
to call,
comment on it.
Which is why I didn't want to call attention to it, because it's not like it's commonplace. Like, if it were to happen all the time, then, you know, you'd kind of go, okay, but it's so rare... like the next one will happen sometime in 2020. And Doug will still be doing the show.
No, no, once you get started, once you feel like you can kick things, I think it could happen again anytime.
Now, look, I've only been around Sea Monster personally a few times. Uh-huh. Talked to him all the time, even when I was at the other station. He just seems like such a nice guy, and yes, nothing bothers him. And when I saw that, I said, oh, my God, something's really wrong. The years I worked around producer Joe, you're correct, Timmy. I remember
he and producer Joe are still sideways. This is Iggy's way of taking a shot at producer Joe
without
over
bringing,
2014 fantasy.
What about like Hinjin Ryu with start a game?
Oh,
what
you got screwed too.
Tanaka. I was. I knew it was. I knew it was an Asian player.
I think that's
remember,
racist, but I'm going to check the Thompson Cobra.
I remember it being an Asian pitcher.
I was told I won the tiebreaker. I went to bed, woke up, and I lost.
Yeah, same thing happened to me yesterday.
I would have started Tanaka, and he went 7 scoreless.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. That's why I can bring this up without bringing up fantasy baseball.
That only cost you $100, maybe $1,000.
Well, I would have won the league for the second year in a row. Team Gaga would have won 2 years in a row, then I got kicked
Team
out.
Team Gaga.
So then I won.
Yeah, you got banned from the league.
Then I won the fan page and didn't get paid, so.
Doug, you surprised the guys on the fan page don't pay their debt.
It's been a good 3 years of fantasy baseball for me. But there were times with Joe. Remember when he used to do the Bachelorette recap? And the old studio's a 590. He's on one side. You have Stebbin in the middle, and I'm on the far left side. And as soon as he started talking, this side is very under my breath. I went, phew. He started screaming, if you don't like it, get out. I just sighed. Get out. I don't care. We're talking. Get out. I'm like, who are you? But he would do that every day, and I enjoyed it. But to see Sea Monster do it was really out of character.
How
so I hope he's better.
My anus from bleeding.
Maybe that's why he was upset that day.
So will producer Joe be there tonight?
I believe so, and
how
I haven't
about
seen
that?
Him in a while.
I feel like he should be on. He was such a big part of the show for, 10 years? I feel like he should be on, once, at least once a month. And
maybe he'll fill in for you tomorrow. I don't think he can, though. I think his hours are early in the morning. Who's going to fill in for Charlie tomorrow, the Sea Monster?
I believe it's Jennings.
Jennings is in? Doug, we'll have a foot fetish Wednesday.
Oh, okay. You're not serious.
We can now.
Well,
we don't have church stations next to us anymore, so now I can let my full pervert flag fly.
No more religion.
Foot Fetish Friday. A Foot Fetish Friday.
Doug, how about that?
You know, he's going to have to mine some of the St. Charles talent.
Yep.
Since that's where we are now.
We haven't tapped into it just yet. It's 9 o'clock. Gabe's going to join us on the other side of the commercial break. We'll have the Colonel presented by Bud Light. That's next. He is the publisher of Power Mizzou. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Tim McKernan, Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, Charlie Marlowe with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.